is from Isaiah chapter 12, these words, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." That's Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear confirmands, on this, your confirmation Sunday, we begin with the simple and clear and profound declaration of the prophet Isaiah, and that is that God himself is our salvation. God himself. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is our salvation? It means that God is the one. God is the one who brings us through this life. God is the one who provides us with all that we need to support our body and life. God is the one who grants us success. God is the one who brings us through our failures. God is the one that comes to our rescue when we call upon him. God is the one who makes, who creates, who causes to occur each and every day in which we awaken from sleep. And therefore, we should be glad. We should be happy. We should rejoice and be glad and happy and rejoice because the day in which we live, even this day, this morning, is a day which God himself, God, has made for us. Living in a God-made day, then, is like driving the finest of cars, wearing the best of clothing, having the most wonderful of houses. And that's where we are. That's what we're experiencing. That's where we've been placed in a day which God, our loving Heavenly Father, has created for us to live in. Wonderful! But Pastor, sounds like Paige. This is a Paige question. Pastor, everybody on earth is living in this day, the same day that I'm living in. It's a question she would ask. Everyone more or less has clothing and shoes and meat and drink and house and home. Everyone has success and failures, and all this occurs whether or not they realize God is at work in the world. Right? So what's the big deal about learning and confirmation instruction that this is so? About realizing that we're children of God, that we've been baptized into God. That's Zach. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why does it matter that we now have learned that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, we have life in his name? Yes, God is our salvation, but what does it matter that we've even learned that this is so? Christian, not a bad question. Not a bad question. So here's a way that we can think about it. How we can think about how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is that God is our salvation. You know, there are people who go through life, indeed, most people go through life with the ability to see. And of course, there are those who go throughout life without that ability. People who are born blind. They're born blind for some reason, for whatever reason. Now, we could say that both are experiencing life, one by seeing, the other by not seeing. And certainly life for both has many similarities with food and clothing and experiences and education. And besides the blind person, the person who can't see really doesn't know what he's missing in any way. He doesn't. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? But what if, having lived our lives enjoying the gift of sight, we lose that sight? We lose the ability to see. Sure, we'd learn to get along, but we would definitely know. We would know that we were missing something. We were missing a capacity, a capability, an ability that is oh so precious to the human experience, and that is sight. Well, all of you confirmands, you've been baptized into Christ. All of you have had the Holy Spirit enter your hearts. All of you have put on Christ and have come to know through a bit of confirmation instruction what that means, sort of. We could say even that the Holy Spirit working within you, you have lived your entire life so far, 13, 14, 15 years, you've lived with the ability to see spiritually. We just sang about that in the hymn, to see spiritually. And you've learned to know this and that about God, about your Savior Jesus Christ, about the Holy Spirit. You've been given other thoughts, other ideas, other possibilities than your friends who have not. So the question is, what now? Is the gift that you have been given, your salvation in God, the knowledge that God is He who's directing you from day to day to day, is that gift that you've been given and you've had, is it worth holding on to? Or is it something not of value? Something that you can easily set aside slowly over time and lapse into spiritual blindness in which the world around you lives. Spiritual blindness which causes them to feel this way and that through life, knowing that they're living a life, but not why. Knowing that they are someone, but not who. Knowing that something will happen to them in the future, but not what. It's not that there's that big of a difference, Pastor. Either Zach or Paige, you might be thinking, but there really is a big difference. And unfortunately, just how big of a difference there is between being able to see spiritually and being spiritually blind will only be known when you lose your spiritual sight. Well, what do we do then? What do we do living with knowledge that God is our salvation, although so many others do not have that knowledge? Well, the prophet Isaiah continues, I'll trust and I will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. That is, throughout our lives, we can trust that God will be our refuge and strength, our very present help in time of trouble, leading us from one moment to the next, one situation to the next, moments and situations we do not face alone, but face with God, through whom we receive the strength that we need to get through. Now, is that any different, such a life, than the life of those around us who are unaware of God? Also a good question. Maybe Carolyn would have asked that one. Is that any different, Pastor? Well, here I think of my college choir tours and band tours. Being heavily involved in music during college, I'd end up going on a couple of choir tours a year and a band tour each year. I mean, it was exciting going from town to town, from state to state with friends from college. I think I counted up once that by such tours I had been in 26 states. I saw cities like Chicago and Cleveland and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Toronto and Buffalo and Washington, D.C. twice, New York City twice, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, Tijuana, Mexico, and oh yeah, Minneapolis. Now I bring up all those cities and those states because touring in such a way was easy. We just got on the bus in the morning, got off in the evening, performed our concert, went to host homes, and repeated the procedure again and again and again, day after day after day. Nothing but good memories there. But as a pastor, years later, I started leading trips out to the Rockies annually. And doing the leading, doing the planning, doing the guiding, boy, that was anything but easy. Where would we go? Where would we stay? What would we see? What would we study? What would we do? What about bad weather? What about if our vans broke down? Campsite was closed. What if one of the kids got sick or lost? What if our food ran out? The list went on and on and on and on and on. Now, that experience was so much different, so much more stressful, so much more intimidating, fraught with tension than simply getting on the bus and getting off the bus. Letting someone else direct, someone else lead, someone else guide me. When we trust God, when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus as our Savior from this world, from the God of this world, Satan, from death. When we trust in God from day to day to day, we need not live in fear, for He is the one directing us. He's the one leading us. He's the one guiding us. And certainly, there is plenty for us to do as He does. In our concert tours, there'd be setting up and tearing down, rehearsals, all sorts of protocols to follow. It's not like we simply twiddled our days away. We were just not in charge. We just were not in charge of the big picture, and that was comforting, extremely comforting. For we always ended up where we were needed to be. We always did what was laid before us to do. Always accomplished what there was to accomplish. Of course, we could have gone about it a different way. We could have struggled and strained each day ourselves with phone calls and maps and credit cards trying to figure out where we should go and what we should do and where we could or should or might sing or play, and who knows what the response would be. That would have been a nightmare of a trip. If we didn't trust our director to arrange everything for us, we wouldn't have been in those ensembles. We would not have gone on those tours. So the questions confirmands. Do you want to go through life straining and striving, struggling and fighting, pushing and pulling, shoving and kicking? Or do you simply want to go through life trusting in God, your salvation? So living from day to day to day, being directed and led and guided. Well, what if God takes me where I don't want to go? Daniel or Noah, you know. Haven't picked on you guys yet. Well, what do you know about that? What do you know? What does anybody know? Ask any adult who is honest, and they'll give you example after example after example of thinking they knew where they wanted to go and striving to go where they wanted to go and straining to go there only to find out that when they got there, it wasn't the place they actually wanted to be. That's what happens, and happens frequently, when we simply refuse to let God, our Heavenly Father, lead and direct and guide us now. The fact that God is our song? I mean, that's what we read in Isaiah, that God becomes our song. What do you think that as Christians we sing? Why do you think as Christians we sing so much? We sing every Sunday about everything that God has done for us. All of us inflecting in the same way the words and thoughts of the hymns and psalms guided by the notes. Of course, the world does this as well. Paying huge sums to go to concerts to sing along with their gods. I mean their favorite artists. The songs which they believe define them and their lives. Whether it's the hatred and despair of Marilyn Manson, the aloofness of Beyoncé, or the good old boy point of view of Garth Brooks. We sing what we believe. We sing what we think to be true. We sing what we think life is. As Christians, then, God, who is our salvation, God in whom we trust, God who is our strength, is also our song. Now, Isaiah ends our verse for this morning by stating again that God has become our salvation. That is, not only is God our salvation in this life, but also for the life to come, eternal life. And that salvation, that eternal salvation, God has provided for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God Himself, who you as confirmands this morning will meet sacramentally in the Lord's Supper. There, when you receive the bread and wine, you will also miraculously, sacramentally receive the body and blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the remission of your sins. There, salvation will come to you. Your sins will be forgiven. Your faith will be strengthened. Your new man enlivened. Your spirit renewed. Your conscience cleansed. In other words, your spiritual sight will be sharpened. So you can begin to live here on earth daily by thinking and believing. From this point on, our text, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He's become my salvation." Now that is truly wonderful. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.